Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah.
My Dallas Cowboys post-game brothers.
Oh, week one with the snake.
That'll be fun.
That'd be great.
They brought out the heavy hitters for week one.
They did.
Will I be apocalyptic?
No screwing around, man.
How nuts will I be at the end of the game when they lose 44-3?
You're ready for it, right?
F me. God, I suck.
Right. Like, you're fully prepared for this thing to just circle down the drain, so you shouldn't get mad at even one play.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll see how quick that goes away.
Incomplete. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, first play is a false start. Well, there goes the season. They're going to lose.
All right, I won't say that in the first 5 minutes.
That's a lie.
We'll see.
Okay, welcome to the Birdhouse. What other Dallas sport could do a Netflix documentary, even if just for one episode?
Tennis.
And the Rangers could do one on the World Series.
Yeah. You could do a 99 Dallas Stars.
I was going to say that what happened with the party after they won the cup.
Right.
Would be epic.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, the Luka trade, if the Mavericks would forthright, that would be number one on my list. Just how it all went down. If everybody was being honest, if we were 20 years down the road, you know, and there were no feelings to hurt or anything like that, I would watch that first.
Oh, that would be a great one.
I think, and maybe not a 8-part or whatever, but the Mark Cuban era of owning the Mavs would be very interesting from how he came in and was so different. Remember, he used to get fined all the time and would be out there practicing with them, basically, and all that. He'd probably do 3 or 4 episodes just on that, 20-some-odd years or whatever.
I know Nolan just had a documentary come out on him, but the Ranger years, when he got here, he was 41, and just the milestones that he hit and how it literally, for those who weren't around, the Rangers were a joke of a franchise and had nothing. I mean, they were the biggest joke in Major League Baseball, and he transformed that.
He did.
Fully did.
Man,
he gave them legitimacy.
There are so many things you could get into. You could have a spinoff documentary about Michael Irvin by himself. Man, right? I'd watch that in a heartbeat. Even with the Carter Cowboys, that 30 for 30 on ESPN that came out, that was marvelous, dude. Especially the people who grew up here around that time. That led all the sportscasts, all the newscasts when that was going down. And that 30 for 30 was incredible. So I think there's so many things that you can pick.
I think you could do one, and it's probably just a one episode one, but of the Dallas Sidekicks back in the 80s with Tattoo.
I think that would be...
I mean, I used to love them when I was in elementary school.
Anyone who was around at that time would definitely enjoy that, just to look back at what was going on then.
Well, why don't we start a production company and just all we have to do is pitch ideas. We don't actually do the documentary stuff. We're idea
men. But we're kind of filming on our iPhones and Polaroids and all that. You think that'll work?
Yeah, Polaroids.
We could do a documentary on Old Arlington Stadium and... How uncomfortable were you as an 8-year-old and you had to pee in a trough next to grown men?
God, what a dump. What a dump.
Is that what you said in the bathroom when you went all the time?
Can I watch you go to the bathroom? I would be horrified as a little kid to have to go in there and use the bathroom. And you're standing next to a grown man and his thing is just hanging over the edge of this tub that we all had to pee in.
It's so, barbaric.
It is. I hated it. I used to hold it so long. My pee, I mean.
Yeah.
I was about to say, dude, that's...
You know, when you're little, you think...
You remedy the situation if you're just holding it.
Put a cinch in the hose and it'd be all right.
Even though he has now been dealt a bad hand, how fast does the public turn on Schottenheimer?
Friday. I just don't know what the expectations are, though. Like, seriously.
If they lose 44-3 Thursday night, Friday it'll be, we're done, move on.
No, I don't think so. I just think that if you're going into a season realistically thinking that they have a chance and then they wet the bed, that's one thing. But I just think this is one of those years to where you're saying if they make a run, you're going to have those fans that will always say, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl because that's what they do every single year. But if you're a true football fan, knowing that the hand he's dealt and what he has... Knowing that he's not going anywhere, I just don't think he's going to get turned on that quickly.
And is it?
Yeah, and also, I heard you guys talking about Alabama a couple segments ago and how Kalen DeBoer is now on the super hot seat. But it's not like that Schottenheimer replaced Nick Saban.
Right.
Right? Like, there's no hero that he's replacing at all. I mean, no one. So you got to give him a leash. But the problem is that, and maybe this trade signaled that they are willing to take a small step back to move forward, that the pressure's not on him as much. But I think from the Cowboy fandom standpoint, until they actually say, look, we're gonna do a little bit of rebuilding here and we're going to get back in this thing in a year or two, until they say that, the expectation level is always, because we've been saying it, NFC championship game or bust.
Well,
for years.
Right. Don't you think that maybe one of the problems is that they aren't really expecting a step back? And that's the issue? Like, we all think it because you trade away Michael Parsons, but just listen to what they're saying. Hey, now we can stop the run, so we're fine. And we have these four draft picks in the next couple of years that we're talking about winning right now. They're not talking about a step back. That was the thing with the Mavericks. They traded Luka. It wasn't a step back. They said, we're trying to win right now. And that's what the Cowboys are saying right now.
And I do wonder, from the fan base perspective, if the irritation now, because if Schottenheimer, let's say they go 5-12 this year and they're a little worse than they were last year, everybody go, it's Jerry's fault because he hired the coach. Like, you won't go out and get a real coach. Why'd you hire this guy and you didn't really go after, you could have had Ben Johnson.
I know.
Maybe not true, but I think people now are more fed up. And you start pointing the arrows more so at Jerry than it feels like ever before.
And it's almost like he's willing to, he say he can take it. So he's willing to take the arrows from everyone, and everyone else is, even some of the players, they aren't going to get accused of sucking because it's all going to be on Jerry. He's created it that way though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. On that same front, when does the Longhorn public start to turn on Sark? His record against top teams is terrible. I think he's 1-8 against top 10 teams. I don't think that's right. I think it's 1-6.
Yeah, he's not James Franklin. Come on.
Maybe 1-7.
It's.
But when do they start to turn on him?
It's happening. I've had some friends that are just tired of it, and why he gets so conservative at weird times in his play calling and seems to struggle against the higher level competition that he has encountered.
No coach is perfect. Like, they're. Saban is Saban, right? Belichick with the Patriots was Belichick. By the way, did you see that lard ass walking off the field?
I heard you talking about that yesterday.
His giant boobs.
He said his D cups coming out of the cutoff
jugs
hoodie.
He could barely walk off the field. I'm like, what are you thinking? Why are you? Why did you sign up for this?
He wanted to go right back to his kitchen table with his dog and his laptop.
And you're telling me that 24-year-old with his giant boobs and gut and bad hip and just, you think that she's like, oh, baby, come here, take those clothes off.
Yep. She has to be. It's an agreement.
No.
Much like Hugh Hefner had with his hot smoking Playboy
girls. A business.
It's Anna Nicole Smith and the old guy she married.
Right. It's the same thing. And it's not about, oh, baby, you the best.
No, but it's like, you're going to get rich. Okay, well, here's what you're going to do for me once or twice a week. And okay.
Once or twice a week. Not a chance. Not with Belichick.
No.
Once a week?
No way.
No. Every day?
No.
No. No.
That's a little too much.
Mm. Once a month.
Yep.
And then she puts a bag over his head.
You think she tells him to pop that top?
Yes.
And they just
absolutely
flop out.
Pop that top, honey.
God. Let's see. Heard Corby talk about the movie Weapons, which, by the way, fantabulous horror movie that's out there right now.
Yeah, I heard that segment. You made it sound
amazing.
What is
your favorite horror movie of all time? Your go-to movie? I feel like we've discussed something like this before. For me, I think I still like revert back to very old school kind of psychological horror movies, not like slasher. Weapons is really good. It's super original. But for me, like The Omen, just the whole devil thing, it creeps me out. It's just got a weird vibe to it. I know, Donovan, you would never see that.
Oh, out. Yeah, no.
Yeah, like horror movies to me, I don't have a go-to horror movie because that's not a genre that I typically
me either
care about. Like, a lot of them I think are hilarious because they're so silly. I mean, Poltergeist is probably the scariest movie because I saw it at a very young age.
That's a great one.
Like, original Poltergeist. But
okay.
It's not like I'm wanting to go and watch that once a year or every couple of years or anything, even though I've seen it probably a handful of times over my life. I guess that's the one then I would say that, because if I ran into somebody and they're like, oh, I've never seen original Poltergeist, we got to watch it. You got to see how freaky it is.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. That may be it for me, but I'm not that experienced in that genre. So like the Friday the 13th and the Halloweens and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, those don't scare me at all.
That's not my thing. Do you consider Sinners a horror movie? Because I thought that was very well done, but I think it's crazy to say that that's my favorite of all time, but I just don't watch a ton of them.
Technically it may be, but I don't really view that as a horror movie, even though it's, you know, gory and vampire-y and all that. I guess it is.
Yeah, I'm with Matt. Like, give me Poltergeist.
Rotten Tomatoes has Jaws listed as the number one horror movie of all time, but in my head, I don't picture Jaws as a horror movie.
No, it's kind of an action summer thing.
I thought Get Out was good.
Get Out's fantastic.
Dude, that's really good.
It's very good.
I'm ready for Jordan Peele to make something like that again. Have you seen the previews for this new one?
I feel like
about
I have.
About the football player that yes. it looks like he sells his soul to the devil to be good.
Marlon Wayans, right?
He's in it?
I think so.
What's the name of it? Do you have any idea?
I can't remember.
Jordan Peele horror movie with Marlon Wayans about football. That's the name of it.
It's him.
What is it? Him.
Him, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say The Chosen.
Not to be confused with Her.
Right.
That came out a few years ago.
Not about
sports. What's a food you ate regularly as a teenager but not as an adult?
I could name who knows how many. Cereal, donuts. I mean, go down the list.
I think number one on that list for me is hamburgers. Like, I'm pretty sure I ate a hamburger once a day.
Meat? Once a day?
No, it
wasn't. Did you live at
a
McDonald's or something? That seems excessive.
I eat fast food. I feel like every day I ate fast food, and it was always
okay. As a teenager,
it wasn't like Arby's, you know. It was
Taco
Wendy's.
Bell.
I loved Wendy's.
Yeah, Wendy's was good.
I ate a ton of Taco Bell.
I had Hamburger Monday. I'm not ever going to stop eating hamburgers.
Well, I'm not saying I'm stopping. I'm saying, like, yeah, I had one this weekend, but I don't eat them regularly like I did as a teenager.
You know what I ate a ton of as a teenager? Frozen pizza.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I don't have...
Were those bagels bites?
No,
pizza
I mean,
bites?
It's like the Totino's. Yeah. And
you
I
eat a lot of those.
I would make the Totino's.
Bagel bites is a thing. You guys never
it
had
is.
Those?
Yeah, of course.
Even though I said bagels bites.
There you go. It's just that you pluralized it.
I would cut it in half, fold it, and then eat it. And then I'm going to have one half, and then I'll go and eat the other one. I ate so many frozen pizzas.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
My kid eats that like it's crazy. I mean, going out of style. But he eats like one particular brand. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I didn't even want the fancy ones that came on the baguette or whatever.
Right. What
was the fancy frozen pizza that looked like that? I didn't like those. Give me the Totino's.
Right, the ones that were 99 cents.
Oh, milk. I used to drink a ton of milk. I haven't drank milk in cow's milk. In 15 years, I bet.
No, I haven't either. I never drink milk. I used to drink it. Well, I would eat it with cereal.
Yeah, I would drink. Like,
now
would
I don't
drink
eat cereal.
A glass of milk, I probably drank two or three a day as a teenager.
Because it helped with your bones.
I don't know. I drank milk, and now.
I think drinking milk with dinner is disgusting, and I don't know why. Like, that's
so, Matt,
in every ingredient that you have some type of milk, but just having a glass of milk like a soda or water to me sounds gross.
And my mom will drink milk over ice, and it's the most disgusting thing.
My granddad
thing in the
drank
world.
Buttermilk, like with dinner.
My grandpa would shove cornbread down his buttermilk and mix it all up like a shake.
That sounds like a weird sexual thing at first.
Dude, it was so gnarly. So.
Hey,
gross.
Quit stuffing
wild,
your cornbread down your buttermilk.
It's too full.
What?
All
the buttermilk.
You go blind if you do that.
Yes. Do you think now that, okay, so you drink milk a couple of glasses every day for, you know, the first 18 years of your existence. Do you think you have now caught up? Your body has now consumed as much beer as milk.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I would think so.
He did that when we went for the draft.
Well, you got to think, I mean, how many houses?
A whole lifetime?
Right. In one weekend in Milwaukee.
I don't know about that. Maybe in Denver a couple weeks ago.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. That's interesting. Of all the ounces of milk that I had, because as a baby for like 2 years, all you're doing is drinking milk, essentially.
That's true. Every day.
That is true.
I mean, you're like, feasting on those puppies.
I think you've caught up, though. I've seen your beer
I probably have, because babies can only consume small ounces, and I can drink 100 ounces of beer in a given day.
You drink like 3 years worth in a weekend.
Do you think your body now is better off that you have caught up with beer to milk?
It's hard to say.
You feel as good as you've ever felt, right?
Oh, yeah, now, for sure. Yeah.
Well,
for sure,
think about it. We just said, what food did you give up? And you've given up all the, you know, sugary stuff and,
right. And offset
fast
it with
foods
that.
And things like that. So maybe that offsets the
maybe
200 beers a week.
It has to. That's the only reason I had to do it that way.
And you've got to treat yourself. Like, I get it. I understand. And some of the health,
myself from time to time.
Non-health benefits of some of the foods. But, man, just a nice bag of three glazed donuts every now and then just does the mind right. Does it? Gotta have it. I gotta have it, man.
Don't
I guess that's why I'm going to always be fat.
You're not fat.
I know.
You're
I
just
feel
big
like it,
bone.
You're just thick.
You look good,
man. I've got a great one on Abby and Brittany, because did you hear they just had a baby?
I did hear you guys talking about that.
Who is Abby and Brittany?
The conjoined twins
at the head.
There's more of them?
No, the ones that had the TV show.
Are those Lori and Dory? No, they died.
Oh, Abby and Brittany.
Oh.
Look them up.
I'm looking at them. There used to be Lori and Dory, and one of them had a sex change, and then I think they died.
Wait, how did one of them have a
sex
change?
So Lori and Dorian?
Or maybe they both did.
Don't
you guys don't remember Lori and Dory?
I don't know.
Are you thinking of Dora the Explorer?
No, it was. No. Lori and Dory were conjoined twins.
A coined.
And one of them had a sex change, and they became Lori and George.
Why does he go from Dorian to George?
I don't know, man. But that's what happened. They died at the age of 62.
Could you just stay with Dorian?
You could.
George?
I don't know. But they used to be on Jerry Springer all the time. That's how I knew them. And they're Lori and George now. I don't know.
All right,
look. What?
We don't have time for this, but I have a doozy for next week.
All right, very good, very good. Right. That is a four tease for the birdhouse for next week. Thank you, Corby. Thank you, P1s. We truly appreciate it.